Good morning and a very, very warm welcome to worship here at PMC. We're so glad that you've been able to join us today in this, the second Sunday of Lent. Today we're going to be continuing the series that Dave started last week with us about walking in the wilderness. And we'll be thinking about those times when the wilderness that we find ourselves in seems like a pointless wilderness with no reason to it at all. Later on, we'll be talking to our very own Dr. Laura Hipple about what life is like on the front line of the NHS right now. Katie Nichols is going to be reading for us, and Sophie Hodge will be sharing some prayers with us. But let's begin our time of worship today by doing the Lent reflections that we began last week. Hopefully you have a lit candle in front of you, and this week you have a stone or a pebble handy. If you don't have a stone yet, then why not press pause on the video right now and just go and get one. And so we take our stone in our hands and we pray together. As we journey through this season of Lent, I choose to embrace this wilderness. I open myself up to the waiting and lay down all my scattered thoughts. I hold my impatience, my desire for speedy resolutions. I yield to the unanswered questions and my unquenched thirst. I carry the hope of the near but not yet. I will wait for you, Lord, and trust in your unfailing love. In the silence of this time, keep me and hold me in the expectation of your deliverance. So take your stone and place it by the candle. And we say together, today I place a stone to remind me that sometimes life is hard and cold, for me and for others. And we say some words from Psalm 42. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. It's time for our first song now, and we're going to play one that's called Waymaker. The song reminds us that whatever happens in our lives, we can be sure that God is with us. Even though perhaps sometimes we can't see God, God is there.
I worship you.
We're going to come to God with our prayers of thanksgiving now. So let's pray. O glorious and majestic God, we gather together for this time now to worship you. We praise you and thank you that you, O God, are our way, our truth, and our life. You are the light in our darkness. And as we've just sung, even when I don't see you, you're working. And God, you really are. Thank you that you are at large working in our lives and sustaining us, whether we see it or not. Thank you that you didn't just make this wonderful creation and then take a holiday, but that you're right here in the middle of your world. Right here in the center of our lives, guiding us, holding us, and loving us. God, you are never absent. And we thank you that you're here right now. Oh, forgive us, O God, for those times when we fail to recognize your presence with us, and for those times when we turn from your light. Forgive us and fill us once more with your Holy Spirit, that our lives might be infused with your power and your love and your joy and your peace. Bless our time together, we pray, and may you be blessed in this worship we offer. For we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So recently we picked up with our own Dr. Laura Hipple. Laura, as many of you know, is a member here of PMC, but she's also, and she would be too modest to say, one of the top consultants in this country in the field of obstetrics, I can't even say it, obstetrics and gynecology. Anyway, Fred caught up with Laura last week to see what it was like in life at the front line of the NHS, and here is what she had to say.
Well, good morning, and thanks for joining us here on one of our virtual Sunday services. And I'm really pleased to be joined today by Laura Hipple, who's going to tell us a little bit about how life in lockdown has changed for her, where she works, and the people that she works with. So, Laura, for those that aren't familiar with what you do on a day-to-day basis, tell us a little bit about what you do as a job of work.
Well, I work as Dr. Hipple, but most people at church will know me as Laura Clements, just to clear any confusion. I have two names. So basically, I work as a hospital doctor up at the Cumberland Infirmary in Carlisle. Mm-hmm. I've just recently, actually in the last month, stepped into a non-clinical role. But for the last 30 years, I've been working in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology there. Mm-hmm. So that's basically dealing with women's health, women and babies. Usually, sadly, when things are not going straightforwardly, is when the medical staff will get involved. So that's been my sort of bread and butter, if you like, for the last 30 years.
How has your job changed during the period? Has everything been put on hold or
Unfortunately, you can't put a pause button on pregnancy. So that was something that we had to sort of explain initially. Mm-hmm. Babies keep coming whether there's a pandemic or not. So basically, as we headed into the first bit of the pandemic about a year ago, the first thing was to try and switch off everything that wasn't absolutely vital. So, for example, in my case, my fertility clinics, because at that stage we didn't know how safe it was for people to be pregnant. We were on a huge learning curve in terms of everything. And we also had staff falling off sick, probably over 50% of my colleagues were off sick with COVID very early on in the pandemic. So you were short of staff. You were trying to sort of make things up almost as you went along. I think I wrote 11 versions of a maternity guideline in 14 days. And almost every night there'd be a new government announcement or some new bit of PPE advice or a new national guideline for pregnancy. And, you know, by the end of the 2 weeks, we were exhausted and just trying to pull something together. Trying to keep staff safe, patients safe, difficult issues about, you know, letting partners in for labour or for scans, you know, all these literally sort of having to try and work out the best scenarios as we went along. And obviously we were one step removed from what was happening elsewhere in the hospital. We were trying to protect our staff so that we could look after pregnant women. But elsewhere, everyone was being redeployed. So as surgeons, lists and operations were being cancelled, apart from the sort of absolutely emergency ones, people were finding themselves helping out in the medical wards. You know, some of my consultant surgical colleagues I bumped into on the stairs saying, oh, they've just become a medical registrar, having to work out. And of course, at that stage, we didn't know anything about drugs that worked. We didn't quite understand the disease. We sadly lost two members of staff in the first wave of the pandemic, and we lost another three in the last wave. So that sort of really brought it home personally, the risk to our own lives. So there was a lot of emotions. And I think those of us that have been, I mean, I've been qualified as a doctor now for nearly 36 years. We'd never seen anything like it, never seen anything like it in the NHS. And of course, the last wave was the biggest of all. On those graphs, they're showing the hump. That is a huge number of people still on our ITUs now.
Yeah. I think it's they say it's one of these once in a generation events. So I think, it's unprecedented, I think, is a word that's been widely used throughout the whole episode. So obviously, you must know people that are dealing with things at the sharp end. You know, colleagues that are seeing people on a regular basis with COVID symptoms. How are they coping? It must be really demanding.
Yeah,
for them.
I think we've had young doctors sort of fast track to qualification to help out last year. And I mean, I have to say, I've never been prouder of the NHS and the staff within it and the way they've risen to the challenges. Mm. But dealing with like really ill people and sadly end of life, in numbers, you know, just unheard of, really. And also the fact that it's the difficulties in giving a compassionate care when you can't have family members there in the same way, and learning how we can manage all of that. I have a friend who is a consultant over in the Northeast in ITU, and you know, he's been doing this job for 30 years. But he said himself he has never felt a sort of psychologically and physically exhausted, trying to deal with the, I mean, it is physical as well. When you go onto ITU and see how these nurses and doctors are wearing all this really tight, sort of masking and everything for their own sake. And you always knew who'd been in ITU because they had a ridge on their nose, a mask on their nose. So this constant worry about their own health and taking infection home to your family, that's a big worry for us initially. So all sorts of psychological as well as physical things for yourselves to deal with, as well as looking after the people that are in your care. Although in the media we're kind of looking ahead, the vaccines come in and we're hoping for a summer, you know, a bit better than before. You know, there are still 60% of our ITU beds about filled with COVID patients. We've still got a huge waiting list building up all the time of people with urgent other problems that need sorting. So it's not like the staff can go on all take 2 weeks off and then come back and reset. You know, everyone's got to come out, keep the show on the road and start to pick up all the work that's backlogged up. Yeah, you can feel in a wilderness even when you're in a busy place. It can still feel like a desert place, and you can feel deserted. When your own extended family, friend, network isn't there. I mean, we've all been reaching out to each other on social media and Zoom calls and things, but it's not the same as a hug. Even colleagues, you can't hug and comfort in the same way as we would normally, or you know, go and have dinner together even in the canteen. We're all sat on a table of one, socially distanced from each other. So you could still be in that wilderness place. And of course, you're in your own little bubble at work, all visored up and, you know, and so that adds to this sense of feeling in your own little space with it all.
Yeah. Do you think that's, I mean, from a sort of a Christian's perspective, have you noticed how your faith has sort of supported you throughout the period?
Well, yeah, I think that has to be constantly there, doesn't it? And, you know, the chaplaincy, we have a sort of multi-place chaplaincy, they've been a constant presence there, and there's a group of them that stand there. If you're going off, if as often is the case, you find yourself working late and at 7 o'clock at night walking out, there's nothing like a quality street being handed to you as you go out the door for boosting morale, I have to say. And I, early on in the pandemic, had the privilege of sitting with a friend's husband on ITU, who sadly passed away with COVID. And I came out, and the first place I went to was the chapel. I couldn't go back to work straight away. I had to just sit. Yeah. And it was actually one of our imams who was there, but just having that space, that mm-hmm. spiritual space. And I think people are very aware of that need for that spiritual space. And then just the priority, you know, that how the pandemic has kind of highlighted perhaps our wrong priorities as a society. Yeah. And, you know, praying and hoping that it gives a chance to reset.
Yeah.
In a better way.
Yes.
So I guess that's what has helped sustain me, is the hope, concentrating on what we can do and the blessings we do have, rather than what we can't. And the hope that, you know, something good can and will come out of all the bad that's been happening.
Yeah, no, that's right. Well, all I can say is thank you very much for joining us this morning. And, you know, you guys are heroes to us, you know, because of what you're putting yourself through. And I think the onus is on us to keep praying for you guys, holding you up before God, really, you know, to support you.
All prayer much appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us this morning.
Okay, thank you,
Frank. Take care.
The first reading is taken from Lamentations 2, verses 11 to 13 and 18 to 19. I have cried until the tears no longer come. My heart is broken. My spirit is poured out in agony as I see the desperate plight of my people. Little children and tiny babies are fainting and dying in the streets. They cry out to their mothers. We need food and drink. Their lives ebb away in the streets, like the life of a warrior wounded in battle. They gasp for life as they collapse in their mother's arms. What can I say about you? Who has ever seen such sorrow? O daughter of Jerusalem, to what can I compare your anguish? O daughter of Zion, how can I comfort you? For your wound is as deep as the sea. Who can heal you? Cry aloud before the Lord, O walls of beautiful Jerusalem. Let your tears flow like a river, day and night. Give yourselves no rest. Give your eyes no relief. Rise during the night and cry out. Pour out your hearts like water to the Lord. Lift up your hands to him in prayer, pleading for your children. For in every street, they are faint with hunger. And the second reading is taken from Job 1, verses 13 to 22. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with this news. Your oxen were ploughing, with donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided us. They stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Your sons and daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home, and suddenly a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed, and all your children are dead. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. praise the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God.
So here we are in the second of our series of exploring what it means to be walking in the wilderness. It seems an appropriate topic to cover as we journey through Lent, especially as we have to navigate the wilderness of this coronavirus pandemic. You know, being in a dry, desert-like place of pain and grief and suffering can come upon us for many different reasons. Sometimes there is a purpose to it, or it's the consequence of actions that we've taken. Other times the wilderness is a place that we have to journey in order to get to the other side, which Dave spoke to us about last week. But you know, today I want us to consider what I suspect is a major reason for these wilderness places. that we sometimes find ourselves in. In fact, it could be the major reason. And that is that there is no reason. That's why I've titled this week, Pointless Wilderness. Because, you know, sometimes life is just rubbish. It's just the way things are. There are ways of describing this fact of life that I couldn't possibly use in a worship service like this one. But, you know, the French have a polite expression for it. C'est la vie, or that's just life. Let's deal with one myth to start with, shall we? I'm sure you've often heard it. Everything happens for a reason. We often say it as a way of comforting the person who's suffering, but it doesn't sound much comfort most of the time. And in any case, it's just not true. We say it thinking it's a good spiritual response. It was God's will that this or that happened. It's all part of God's mysterious plan. We want to affirm that even in tragic circumstances, God is in control. And if this awful thing happened, then God must have a greater purpose in mind. And you know, it's perfectly natural and understandable for us to look for God's strong and loving hand guiding us through these things of our darkest hours. But you know, I don't believe that everything happens for a reason. And you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says that either. The closest that there is in Romans 8:28, which in some translations says, all things work together for good to them that love God. But it's a bad translation. A far more accurate rendering of the verse is, in all things, God works for our good. In other words, it's not that God ordained this thing to happen, but that God is able to bring God good out of even the bleakest, darkest experience. Let me ask you, do you really believe that everything happens as part of God's plan? Try watching the news later tonight, and after every story there is of a shooting or a war or a famine or the hundreds and thousands of people still dying of coronavirus, or a boat full of refugees capsizing and drowning everyone on board, or some wanton act of terrorism, try saying out loud, everything happens for a reason. That was part of God's plan. How does that feel to you? You know, when we lived in Somerset, there was a lovely family in our church. Well, one day, the dad, Stephen, was at work, and the rest of the family, mum, Julie, three young children, including two twins still in a buggy, and Gran went out for a walk. It was a lovely, sunny afternoon. And as they walked along a quiet lane, a car came flying round the corner, and the driver, blinded by the sun, failed to see them, ploughing headlong into them all. All five were killed. Was God behind that? Was that part of God's plan? Is that what you tell Stephen as he carried those three tiny coffins into the church for the funeral? Friends, that surely can't be right. So how do we explain it then? Is God in charge or not? Is God sovereign and in control? And if God is, then what sort of God would allow things like that? Who is this God we worship? We read some verses earlier on. The first were from the book of Lamentations. People often ask, why is Lamentations in the Bible? It describes a dark wilderness experience of suffering. And that's how life is for so many people. That's why I think it's in the Bible. And then we read some verses from the book of Job. It's probably the earliest book of the Bible ever written. The book tells the story of some really terrible things that happened to this man called Job, and how he and his friends are trying to make sense of the awful calamities that have struck this poor man. Job has done nothing wrong, but life deals him some pretty awful cards. And right at the beginning of Job, in the opening few sentences, it describes a dialogue between God and Satan, who asks God if he can test Job. But interestingly, those verses were not in the book originally. They were added hundreds and hundreds of years later. because the Jewish people were desperate to find a reason for Job's suffering. But actually, there wasn't any. Job is a book about how bad things happen to good people. And we know so often that bad things do happen to good people. And we've already said that that could be for many reasons, but I still come back to the main reason I believe bad things usually happen to us. It's just the way life is. C'est la vie, bad luck. Life is sometimes cruel and there's no explanation and nobody to blame. And so if that's true, and if we find ourselves in this pointless, tragic wilderness, how on earth do we deal with that? What can we say and what can we do? We often ask the question, why? But I wonder if we're asking the wrong question, because there's no answer to that. Perhaps a better question would be, what now? Because, you know, suffering is more than just some intellectual game to be played out by philosophers and theologians or Sunday morning YouTube preachers. This wilderness that we find ourselves in affects our emotions. We can feel abandoned by God. Our faith has let us down. We feel the pain and confusion and bewilderment, as well as having to deal with the place where we've found ourselves. What we can say, the response that we must give, the what now, is something that's easy to say but far harder to do. When we find ourselves in this wilderness, we're asked to put our trust in God and yield to God's care for us. Because instead of us thinking that we're falling from the God above us, the reality is that we're falling into the God below us. Let me say that again. Instead of us thinking that we're falling from the God above us, the reality is that we're falling into the God below us. It's in these times, these desperate, tragic, seemingly pointless times, that we can do nothing except trust in the God who holds us and will never, ever let us go. There are some things that we must hold on to, things that are never in doubt. Those are the things that we must hold on to and trust in. And that is that God is sovereign. God is in control. God is trustworthy. God is good and God is love. Whatever is happening in your life, you know, God is still committed 100% totally to you. God's love for you is beyond dispute. You matter to God profoundly. Jesus died on a cross to prove the extent of God's love for you. And God wants to bless you and for you to get through this wasteland to experience life in all its fullness. Yes, it's beyond doubt that we often suffer and walk a wilderness for no obvious reason. But it's also beyond doubt that God loves us and is for us and holds us and journeys with us. And so we don't trust in a reason for all of this, but instead trust in a God who transcends all of this. We don't trust in a purpose for this time, but trust in the God who will lead us out. You see, real faith in God ultimately depends on us taking that huge step of saying that despite what's happening, I will nevertheless trust that there is a loving God who created this universe and everything in it. Contrary to everything I see around me, I hold on to a hope that God will work through this for the good that God wants me to experience. Ultimately, you see, I need to trust and hope in a God who is far bigger than anything I have experienced or will ever experience. And when I'm in these wilderness times, all I can do is to keep on trusting and keep on hoping in a God that I probably can't see or feel, and keep on walking one painful step at a time. This wilderness is not God's desire for you, but occurs because that's just the way life is. This wilderness is not given to teach you something, although from it you will learn. This wilderness is not inhabited because your faith is weak, but through it your faith can be strengthened. This wilderness isn't meant to detach you from your God, but in it you can deepen your relationship with the God who loves you beyond measure. We called this sermon Pointless Wilderness, but you know there are points that we can only learn afterwards. Only when looking back do we see how God journeyed with us and embraced us and carried us. It's not a reason for the pain, but it's a strength that we can hold on to afterwards. God is present at all times and through all circumstances. And even when tragedy strikes, even in this dark wilderness, maybe especially then, God will be with us as God brings healing and comfort. Does everything happen for a reason? That's not what our faith teaches us. Does God have some immutable plan that scripts everything good and evil that will ever befall us? No. But I do believe that God has a plan. And that plan is to love us and be with us no matter what. And that plan is a promise now and forever. Earlier I quoted Romans 8:28. And Paul goes on in that chapter to say this: who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now perhaps you're listening to this and you're thinking, I'm not in that place that Tim's describing. Maybe you once were and everything's now good. And if that's the case, then I'm delighted and really happy for you. Praise God. But if that is you, then just think back for a moment to times when you did feel in a wilderness and you couldn't understand why. As you look back with the benefit of time, can you see how it is that God worked in your life? Can you see that it was God that held you and sustained you and brought you through? Can you see that God was not causing that wilderness, but it was in that wilderness that God came to you when you were at your most vulnerable? Can you see how God lifted you and carried you and proved to you God's love? Can you see how your endurance through that dark wilderness was the possibility for an experience of healing and wholeness and love that you could never have imagined when you were in the depths of your despair? And if you can, then please, I implore you, share this message with somebody who is in that place right now. Forward a link to this video to someone who needs to hear it. Because, you know, ultimately, at some point, most of us will be in that place, a wilderness of suffering and grief that we didn't deserve and didn't make sense. And when we find ourselves in those times, if we dare to persevere, if we dare to keep holding on through the longest, darkest night of the year, then we will find that morning does come. And when it comes, we will carry a new understanding of God that we never thought possible. We will have entered a deeper communion with the God who will never leave us or forsake us. We will find that the new day is a moment longer and that the next night when it comes is a moment shorter. And the turning of this season will have begun, even as the coldness of the wilderness still imparts its last dying breaths. And God will be richer and more real. And you will know that your trust was well placed as you feel surrounded and held in God's loving arms. Amen.
God, we start our prayer time this morning by lifting up our own personal situations to you, God. We pray for those aspects of our lives where we feel like we personally are facing wilderness situations, God. We lift up to you perhaps our feelings of struggling with mental ill health, perhaps exacerbated by COVID at this time. We pray for our own physical health, for perhaps stress we're experiencing around money or job situations, anxiety around health, perhaps issues around relationships, wherever it is that we are experiencing our own wildernesses, Lord, we lift this up to you, and we thank you that you are a God that experienced being in the wilderness yourself, and that you can empathize with us exactly in our difficulties and in our suffering, Lord. And we pray that you will be the great comforter for us individually at this time, Lord, that you will wrap your arms around us, that you will speak to us as we face our personal wilderness situations. Thank you, God, that you do understand what it means to be human and what it means to live in these wilderness places. And God, of course, we think beyond ourselves to our friends, our family, others in our church, God. And again, we are so mindful of how many of us are facing wilderness situations, particularly with COVID at this time. And again, Lord, we think of those we know who are suffering from mental ill health or who are suffering from physical illnesses. We pray for those who are maybe living under the strain of having to homeschool and the stress that that's bringing. We pray for our young people who have missed out so much over the last few months with the country being in lockdown. We pray for those we know who are facing job insecurities, Lord. We lift all of those people up to you, Lord. And again, thank you that you are a God who understands our sufferings and our difficulties. And we ask that those people that we're thinking of right now, that you uphold them and comfort them and wrap them in your love. And of course, God, we ask that you be prompting us, that you will put people on our hearts who are going through particular wilderness times, who you are calling us to reach out to in their difficulties. You're calling us to be that comfort, to be that encouragement, to be that practical support, Lord. I pray that this, your Holy Spirit will just whisper names in our hearts right now, who you're calling us to reach out to at this time. And Lord, we lift up to you the COVID pandemic situation as well, and we're just aware of the extra layer of difficulty and suffering that so many people are experiencing because of this pandemic. We pray for those who are very anxious around health. We pray for those who have experienced loss at this time of bereavement. We pray for those who are working in exceptionally stressful situations, perhaps in the NHS or in our schools. We pray for those who are suffering from mental ill health or worried about family or children who are suffering from mental ill health. God, we pray for all of those who are feeling adversely affected by this pandemic, maybe suffering with loneliness. And again, just ask for your comfort, for your love to uphold each person during this crisis. And Lord, we thank you for our vaccination program and the progress that's being made there, and just ask for your blessing on that. God, we thank you for being a God that walks with us, that empathizes perfectly with us, and upholds us in our day-to-day lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught to say, it is well.
I do hope that you've enjoyed worshipping with us today. But more than that, I pray that you've encountered something of God in this space and that you've heard God speaking to you. You know, our wilderness times do not need to be the things that define us. But my prayer is that whilst we're in those times, we may draw closer to God, we may be shaped by God, and we may know God's love more and more for us. Do join us again next week when Dave will be speaking to us about passionate wilderness. I'm going to end with a blessing in a second, but first of all, here's a prayer from St. Teresa of Avila. She was a 16th century Carmelite nun and a mystic. It's one that I put in this week's bulletin. I've changed some of the language to make it less patriarchal. So let's pray. Trust in God. Let nothing disturb you. All things shall pass. God never changes. Patience achieves all it strives for. Those who have God find they lack nothing, for God alone suffices. And so now to God who is able through God's mighty power at work within you to do infinitely more than you could ask or even imagine. To God who is able to keep you from falling away and to bring you with great joy into God's glorious presence. To our wonderful, incredible God, be blessing and glory and honour both now and always. Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.